morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for this morning's drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am your host, Zach Yenser. Strap in and sit tight for a busy week. Did that sound threatening, Tom? Like, Tom's eyes got really big.
I would have gone buckle up. Strap in. Look out, we're about to drop.
well, buckle up is just kind of, hey, do what you standard, you know, do what you usually do. Get in, be safe, and get ready to go. Strap in means it's going to be a busy week. I stand by my use of...
All right.
Good morning, Tom Callahan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm on high alert now, Zach.
you're on high alert. Have you had your fifth or sixth cup of coffee?
I'm getting there.
You're getting there.
This is
you might need it after today's show where we strap in.
Yes. Excuse me. I'm going to strap in.
Strap in. Sit tight. Don't go anywhere. Our news hour, our new-ish news hour is what you're in for today. A conversation about, I think, some of the stories and issues that are coming out of the weekend, shaping the week ahead. By the way, I'm doing the news today, as I sometimes do, but next week, we're going to have Jen Fifield on. She's a reporter for the Arizona Republic. We're going to look at the audit. We're going to do a news update from someone who is specifically watching, reading, writing about, looking on, tweeting about the audit. So that'll be a good conversation. Of course, we'll have Louis Christensen, Tucson tomorrow, and Lorraine Rivera, Arizona Public Media. That'll take up a lot of the next month as we look to talk about the news with people who are writing about, reading, and watching the news. Today's show, so strap in this month for that. Strap in. Buckle up. I'm going to use that a few more times just to see if Tom will crack a smile on
it's
the other
growing
side
on
of the
me.
Glass.
It's I growing like on it. You.
Yeah, your eyes get less big every time I say it. Busy week for the city and county. Here in Tucson and Pima County, both the city of Tucson and Pima County, so we're going to cover it all, have two big, in my mind, big meetings tomorrow with some big themes that we've been talking about and tracking here on this show and on this station coming up. National police reform seems closer than ever. The challenges for businesses in the hospitality and food service industry, their challenges, what are they struggling with right now? Why can't they hire? And then FC Tucson, their first home game is this weekend. So we're going to chat with them at the end of the hour. 790-2040 is your call-in number. This is a chance to join in the conversation. And I hope that you do. What's on your mind? If what's on your mind doesn't make the list, great. Three quarters of the show is you and me on the air, 790-2040. So I wanted to give a quick overview, and we'll probably comment and discuss this as it happens throughout this week. But both the city of Tucson and Pima County, have some big meetings coming up, as I mentioned. Let's start with the county. Tomorrow, May the 4th, will be a Pima County agenda that involves a recommendation by County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry to the board to invest $10 million for scholarships for low-income families to afford high-quality preschool. So Supervisor Scott, 4, 6, 8 weeks ago at this point, put forward a motion to the Pima County Board to consider funding early childhood education, high-quality preschool. That item will be back on to the agenda tomorrow, an investment again of $10 million for scholarships for low-income families to afford high-quality preschool. So that is an item that I know people are watching closely, both those who think it's a great idea and those who don't think it's a good idea, and really everybody in between. So that's happening tomorrow with the county. The city has an even busier study session agenda tomorrow. There's actually 4 or 5, I think, big themes of interest there. I'm gonna list 3 of them. The city of Tucson, mayor and council meet tomorrow as well. Their study session involves a review of city manager Michael Ortega's recommendation for the Reed Park Zoo. And his recommendation is what's called Recommendation D, which is the kind of what they call the most net neutral. It achieves the most community goals while being the less fiscally expensive for the zoo and the city. And that is basically to move the proposed expansion of the zoo from Barnum Hill to just north of that, stretching a little bit towards the golf course. And to my eye, not the golf course, but it's going to be northward toward the golf course, and just north of Barnum Hill. Is my understanding. Now, what's interesting about this, and I know this is all kind of high level, these could be entire segments and shows on their own, but it's interesting because the community stakeholder group, according to City Manager Ortega, expressed, you know, interest in a very expensive option that would move the expansion in a very expensive and different direction, but that it didn't, you know, again, achieve the goals of the city and of the community. There is a nonprofit in Tucson working to save the heart of Reed Park that is pushing for and doing some community organizing around that expensive, very expensive option. My expectation, of course, is the city manager is going to come out and say, we're going to do this pause. It's going to be about $3 million. We're going to put the construction company on pause. We're going to redesign the zoo expansion. It's going to be attached to the zoo north of Barnum Hill, option D. What's going to be interesting to see is how the mayor and council engage with the conversation the community stakeholder group had with the city manager, or what some of the broader community is pushing for, which is more expensive. And my guess is that the mayor and council is going to go along with the city manager's recommendation of D. But what makes this such a mavericky situation is we're here in the first place because of some very focused public input. And so often what it seems like with these set of folks who I respect and I've had on the show is it's often kind of who is the loudest and last in the ear that seems to kind of move the tide. And so your guess is as good as mine. My guess is option D will go forward. The next is a review of compensation for city employees. And there was a recent study commissioned by the mayor and council, executed by the city manager and his staff, to look at how many staff are underpaid by the market. And an overwhelming majority of city employees, both non-public safety and public safety, are underpaid with the local and the national average. Now, the city has tried to do things like one-term payments. They've tried to increase benefits. But in terms of cash in the pocket, the city of Tucson staff is overwhelmingly underpaid. And it's been this way for a long time. So the manager is going to present the mayor and council with his first draft of a compensation plan that will be phased in over a number of years that will pull from the general fund and HERF fund. And that's interesting, right? Because when we say HERF, that's the Highway User Revenue Fund. So there's this math equation of how many people are driving on the highway that goes up to the state. The state then does their calculations and sends money back to cities and towns and says, we're going to give you these dollars to fix roads. And we know that for a while, we've used HERF funds to pay for especially Department of Transportation employees. Now there's going to be some use of those HERF dollars to contribute to this overdue need to fund staff in the city of Tucson. So it's going to be interesting to see how those dollars, which do fund road repair, how that is maximized, if you will, for use of covering increased staff pay over the next couple of years. My last comment on that is I've mentioned on this show that HERF dollars are what fund roads in the city of Tucson. For the mayor and council to put $14 million in from the general fund into funding neighborhood road repair is a big deal, because for the last two budget cycles, general fund dollars have not gone to pay for roads. So when you look at that HERF pot of money as what does fund road repair, when you take out of that to fund staffing, whatever that looks like, and the details are not quite clear, you know, then you're just diminishing what you usually use to fund roads. So I think that's an interesting dynamic there. I believe the number is 80%. 80% of staff across the city are underpaid according to the average. We talk a lot about fire and police. It's really everybody. And we'll see what the plan is to fix that. The last thing is that the city manager will also bring forth and discuss a preliminary budget for 21-22. So the end of fiscal year is already here. I told you this is going to be a big week for city and county. The county looking at high-quality preschool investment, the city looking at Reed Park Zoo, staff compensation, and budget. Now, it looks like there's about a, as far as I could tell, about a $50 million surplus between the austerity budget that the mayor and council put in place during COVID and the revenues actually received, which is good news. And now, what are going to be the priorities now for this recovery budget? A few things to watch for is what shifts are made to the budget in light of expected stimulus dollars that will be paid to cities and towns over the next couple of years. It's phased in over a couple of years. So how will that impact how the mayor and council thinks about the budget? My first look at some of the proposed numbers doesn't show police funding for that department really any larger than it was last year. It's kind of hovering around that $160 million amount. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if budgets are a moral document in terms of, you know, values and priorities, what is going to be shifted from what the city manager is proposing tomorrow to what will eventually be passed by the end of the fiscal year. So, by the way, all of this stuff, if you go on the City of Tucson's website, you can see the entire agenda. They attach the memos and the schedules and everything, so you can kind of see a lot of what Mayor and Council is looking at as well, and I've always found it to be pretty readable. So, in terms of a new-ish news hour, I'm talking about the local, state, and national stories that I think are going to drive the week. Those are two big ones, and both city and county meetings you can watch online, you can engage with virtually still. But that's what's going on at the city and the county here. When we come back from a break, we'll take some of your calls, 790-2040. We're still yet going to talk about national police reform. Seems closer than ever. Led on the Republican side by Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina. And the challenges of small business, some of my insights. Why can't restaurants hire who they need to hire? That and more on the other side before we talk to FC Tucson. Fuerza Tucson. First home game this weekend. We'll be right back here on 1030 The Voice.
Real issues with real people. Tipping Point with Zach Ensor. 1030 The Voice.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in the Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. If you're just joining us, this is Tipping Point, a daily in-depth news conversation and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We just talked about the big week, in my mind, of some heavy hitter topics hitting the study session and board meeting agendas for both the city of Tucson and Pima County. I want to talk a little bit about police reform nationally, starting to gain some real traction, potentially some results by the end of the month. Why restaurants can't hire. This is our new-ish news hour. We talk about the news and the issues of the day that are important. If we don't hit something on the list, you can give us a call, 790-2040. So I wanted to dig in a little bit because we know, and it is well documented across the news landscape, that especially the food and hospitality business is having a very difficult time hiring workers, especially at some levels. And what we hear by and large is that the reason is that the unemployment benefits are basically putting more money in people's pockets than they would make if they were working. Now, that is happening, but it's not the only thing that's happening. And I had some really interesting conversations over the last few days that both validated that unemployment benefits as a part of the stimulus package, the latest stimulus package and the extension of those federal unemployment benefits is playing a part, but it's not the only thing that's happening. And so I think a fair assessment of what's going on is important to figuring out where we go from here. I think there's three things happening, and I want to tell you what I'm hearing from some small business and restaurants. Number one, yes, especially some positions. There are some restaurants who are figuring out how to pay line cooks more and certain skilled positions in food and hospitality industries. But there's a lot of positions that are, like often wait staff that are paid at a lower minimum wage, and then they make that up or hopefully do in hourly tips, so on and so forth. So not every position in a restaurant or food service or hospitality industry is the same. Some restaurants are able to pay their staff more and some are not. There is an expectation that when federal unemployment benefits end, that we will see a bit of a surge back into those businesses, right? And the paradox is that there is money in people's pockets. They want to spend that money. In many states across the country, you can now go eat inside or outside at restaurants. You can now go to hotels. You can now go to resorts. The demand is nuts, but there's not enough staff. I heard about a local business who said, I would open longer. The consumer demand for me to have my bar open longer is there. I just can't find the people to be able to open, but in a way that makes sense for me. And so that is happening. And there's somewhat of an expectation out there that when those unemployment benefits go away, that people who are sitting out the job market will jump back in. Some are sitting out those businesses, though, to be fair, because of continued safety concerns, right? Some men and women who were on wait staff a year and a half ago don't feel comfortable jumping back in. They're not just sitting at home because they're getting paid more to do so. There is that kind of personal, individual choice that's being made. There's also other, another reason that I hear from some of our restaurants and food and service industry is that a lot of those workers who worked in restaurants before, you know, are now working, as one explained it to me, working for the Amazons of the world, working for some of that $15 an hour, even entry level positions, because there's greater consistency. You know what you're going to get from government. You know what your next day is going to look like. There's been a lot of uncertainty and a lot of regulation around our food service and hospitality industry. So I think to just put it on unemployment benefits is disingenuous. It's not the whole picture, but it is a piece of the picture. And I heard that again this weekend, that for certain positions and many people, it does make more financial sense to sit out the job market right now, at least until unemployment benefits go away that have been a result of the last stimulus package. The other thing that I wanted to remark on here in a couple of minutes, just in way of my reporting on what I hear from restaurants in the food service industry, there is a movement right now that I think will somewhat flippantly say, well, you're not paying enough. If you would just pay the minimum wage to your workers, everything would be fine. And as a business, it's your fault if you're not paying enough. And I get where that comes from, but I think it's detached from reality. Just to be respectfully blunt, there are some restaurants right now that are booming benefits, that are providing vacation pay and vacation time off and student loan assistance for line cooks. I mean, for certain levels of cooks in a kitchen, there are some companies who have the bandwidth to pay a higher wage. There's a lot, though, who in the restaurant industry, in a low-margin industry, don't have the opportunity right now today in the wake of a global pandemic to just go ahead and raise wages. And there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, costs of goods are through the roof. The numbers that I heard over the weekend from local restaurants saying, we paid this before the pandemic, we're now paying 4X. For the same thing. These businesses have a decision to make. Do I eat the cost and try to keep what I charge for this drink or this plate of food lower for the consumer? Or do I make the consumer eat that cost? Right? And so now you're asking the question, how much the market can bear. And then with the income that I make on low margins, can I raise what I pay my workers per dollar? Right? And I think this assessment that business owners are sitting on these piles of cash and they make a daily decision to starve their employees or not is just disconnected from reality. And it's wrong and it's rude. There are some companies who can do it and should do it and are doing it. And there's a lot of, especially local businesses, who don't have the ability because costs of goods are going up. Whether you're building a house or serving a plate of food, costs have gone up. And so our local businesses are not only facing, can I hire enough to stay open, right? Because the demand is there. But they're also having to make decisions around what do I charge and how do I deal with costs of goods going up. So that's my reporting. I'm air quoting today. That's what I'm hearing from local businesses. Our men and women running local businesses are between a rock, a hard place, and something else. I mean, it is just not easy, and I respect everyone who's trying to do it. There's my assessment of the landscape of why we see nationally, why restaurants have the demand, but not the workforce, and in some ways not the pricing of cost of goods to really be successful in this time. We need to look at all of those things. When we come back, national police reform closer than ever. News of the weekend, FC Tucson after that. First home game this weekend. We'll be right back.
A Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in The Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. If you're just joining us, host of Tipping Point, this drive time hour, in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. This is our new-ish news hour here on the program, where we take Mondays to talk about the news and the issues coming up and coming out of the weekend that will shape the week ahead. We've talked about a few of those topics. Here, just wanted to give you a quick glimpse, at least let Tom know why I said strap in and buckle up. Tomorrow, we have Val Romero, independent candidate for city council here in Tucson for Ward 6. We're going to hear some live music in studio tomorrow as well. Vail Unified School District Board member Callie Tippett will be on to talk about what's been going on in the last couple weeks. ASU President Michael Crow is on Thursday. We talked to the director of the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality as well on Thursday about the governor's executive order to look into the issues around Davis-Monthan and PFAS. Congresswoman Anna Kirkpatrick is on Friday. So it's a busy week. We're starting it out nice and easy. Just you and me here on 1030 The Voice, 790-2040. But up ahead, a busy, chock-full week, and I'm looking forward to it. My last news topic of the hour here, before we welcome FC Tucson in ahead of their first home game. Tucson's now independent and our own soccer team, which is really exciting. National police reform might be closer than ever. On the Republican side, the effort has been led by Tim Scott, one of, I believe, only three African-American legislators in the Congress, which is crazy. Or at least in the Senate, and on the Republican side, he's been leading the police reform negotiations from that side of the aisle. Of course, the House, the Democratic House members have been very busy with a George Floyd police reform act. And over the weekend, actually, both sides of the aisle expressed some sense of coming closer on the issues. I'll talk to that in a minute. President Biden has said, let's get it done by May 25th. Of course, he's eyeing the anniversary of the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis last year. But Tim Scott, Republican, South Carolina senator, has been really actually active on this issue for about the last year or so. He gave the State of the Union response for the Republicans to Joe Biden, President Joe Biden's address to the country. You know, the issues at stake have been, what do we do around chokeholds? What do we do around no-knock warrants? What do we do around qualified immunity? Those have kind of been the big three of the four or five issues being looked at. At first, Republican Tim Scott wanted to take more of an incentive approach. The Democrats wanted to be a little bit more heavy-handed about it. Apparently, the two sides have come closer on what they want to do around limiting some of those uses of force, either partially or altogether. The big issue that apparently there is some compromise around, but the biggest issue outstanding is around ending qualified immunity. And basically, as it exists right now, there is a high bar for a citizen to sue an individual police officer over acts of force that seem to go above and beyond what was required. And there's language like willfulness, right? Not only did the officer maybe go above and beyond, but was it willful, right? In the speed of the moment, was this on purpose or was it not? And most of the time, the court doesn't really look at those issues. Doesn't really look at those things. Usually, lets the offending officer walk away from those situations. Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott's compromise seems to be allowing for civil suits to be brought against departments. Most Republicans, most police unions, most officers themselves are very nervous about losing qualified immunity, and not for the cynical reason why you might say that's the case. They will often say, look, the speed of the situation is so much so that if we have to be thinking through how this is going to be seen or received, we may not do the job well. We could do a whole segment on that, but that seems to be the sticking point. But Republicans have said, look, Senator Scott will follow you on this, and he's been the leader on it. And so I think and I hope that we will get to a police reform legislation by the end of the month. Look, I think the American people are right on this issue, and I've mentioned it on the show. Americans want a funded, resource, and effective police department. They want greater accountability. By the way, most Americans would like to be able to bring civil suits against officers. That is data. That is polling. Americans want accountability where it's needed. And before accountability is required, they want a more restorative justice system. And you can agree or disagree with all that, but that is where the American people are at. And I think they're right on this one. I think they're right on this one. But big topic, certainly after the one-year anniversary coming up of the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, there seems to be bipartisan movement towards police reform, certainly on the Republican side, driven by Senator Tim Scott, who, by the way, has been called everything from Uncle Tim to an Oreo by Democrats across the country. And I think if we're going to call out the right for things like that, then I think we have to also call out the left as well when there are very base remarks made around race and ideas and people. I think you have to call that thing, that stuff out. And the fact of the matter is it isn't called out on the left like it's called on the right. And it should be called on both sides. But the more I looked into kind of what Tim Scott has been up to and found out the backlash that he's gotten from Democrats around the country, it's just not needed. It's not necessary. It's not right, and it's wrong. And I think independent-minded Americans should say it's wrong. Whoever says it, whatever party, for whatever reason, we should just stop going there as a country on both sides. So that is my sermon and TED Talk to end the show here on that in terms of the news hour. We're going to go to our final break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to talk to the team over at FC Tucson, Tucson's now independent soccer team. Their first home game coming up here in Pima County in just a number of days. We'll chat with their leadership, with their coach, and have a good time doing it. Fuerza Tucson. We'll be right back here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk all morning on 1030 The Voice.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. We are back here in the 1030 The Voice studios. You're listening to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Now joined in studio via our live line by the CEO FC Tucson, Amanda Powers, and Coach Galas. Amanda, good morning to you. Happy Monday. Welcome aboard.
Wonderful. Happy morning to you, Zach, and it's good to be here.
Absolutely. So for the five people listening who don't know yet about FC Tucson as our now independent, our very own Tucson pro soccer team, tell us about FC Tucson, how it fits into the landscape of soccer in the country, and set the North Star for us on this conversation ahead of the first home game here of the season in Tucson.
Yeah, well, you know, I should just preface this by saying that I came into the business about 6 years ago, and I was not a soccer expert. That's why I've got great technical experts like head coach Galas on the phone. But I fell into the business because I saw the power of what soccer teams can do for a community, both socially and economically. So we play in the third division of men's professional soccer in the U.S. soccer pyramid. And what that means is there's independent teams and then there's sort of development teams that fall under the ranks of the MLS, Major League Soccer. And really, at the end of the day, we're all sort of from the bottom up, from your kids' rec or AYSO teams to club teams to ECNL like FC Tucson Youth has here. We're all kind of in this upward momentum towards building the very best U.S. men's national team, which many people don't know this, but the U.S. men's national team actually failed to make the Olympics yet again. And so we have our work cut out for us as a sport that I think a lot of Americans are quite surprised to hear when they think kind of world dominance in the United States, that men's soccer actually is not at the top. So what we've got our North Star pointed towards is the World Cup in 2026, when it's going to come to North America. You're going to have a giant party in the United States in 5 years from now. And these kids that are playing in these local teams down here at Keno South or at Rito Park, that's our future. And so what FC Tucson sort of positions itself as, for years it was an amateur team. In 2019, we became pro, so all our players are on paid contracts. They, you know, have housing and salaries, and we take good care of them there. But we're really also hoping to springboard them to their next sort of move, But ultimately, soccer in the United States right now, from a professional standpoint, has never been stronger. There's more opportunities for young men to be playing at a profession, getting paid to play than ever before, which I think is exciting. And we just have to remember that, you know, England invented the game and it's been around a long time there. And if we're going to kind of catch up to the world status, we've got to educate the public and then also just kind of, you know, get these kids supported with the right kinds of programming, coaching. So, you know, so we are the what we call the first team where we play a 28-game season with teams, 14 other teams around the country. And then we have a youth academy team that I can speak to at another time. But I hope that kind of helps explain.
Absolutely. And we do have Coach John Gallus on with us. I want to go there in a minute. But real quick, Amanda, compare the Tucson soccer scene in FC Tucson to some of the other markets around the country. How do we line up and kind of what's the vision for how Tucson can get behind FC Tucson in a bigger way? And then we'll go to Coach Gallus.
Yeah, so like I said, soccer right now is more, there's more infrastructure, more professionalism within the different divisions than ever before. And so what you're seeing is sort of a critical mass, in particular in what I call sort of second and third tier cities. I came here by way of Albuquerque a little over a year ago, you know, a comparable city to Tucson. That didn't have any professional sports. And we built a club from the ground up there that was second division. So the difference between a first division team, which is MLS, is really dollars. It's $200 million to get a franchise, an MLS franchise. And you've got to have probably a $500 million stadium plan in the works. So the MLS really dictates which cities in America get those teams. But for cities like Albuquerque or Tulsa, where I also worked, or Tucson, there's a real opportunity to bring second and third division soccer to the community because it really is your shot at having a true pro sports team. My experience at New Mexico, we got more than 13,000 fans a game for 17 home games. We played out of a baseball field that we had to, you know, convert for every game, which gets expensive. So, you know, but it can happen when you build, you know, a club for the people and the people sort of buy in and believe in what this club's potential is to rally the community together. So second division soccer exists in Phoenix. So the Phoenix Rising, which is, you know, our former parent company, they actually just opened up a new 10,000 seat modular stadium out at Rawhide.
Wow.
And I was at that game on Friday. They had 5,000 people there. It was fantastic, and I talked with the general manager, Bobby Dooley, there, and he said he could have probably sold 20,000 seats.
Jeez.
So the reality is that there is a huge unmet demand for this sport, but we got to make a product that's convincing, you know, and we got to put a product together that speaks to the people. So that's what we've been busy trying to do.
I love it. We'll circle back to you here at the end, Amanda, but we have Coach John Gallus on the line. Coach, it was good to meet you in person the other day, and it's good to have you on the line with us. Talk about the talent that's on FC Tucson. Really, the world is coming to your team. Tell us about the legacy of FC Tucson and the kind of players that you have playing on the team right now.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and it was great to meet you, obviously, as well as our first Barrio to Barrio campaign. Well, as Amanda said, it's the people's game and it's the world's game, and I think that's evident in our team. It's evident in teams across, you know, the U.S. landscape, from MLS to US01. I mean, we've built a roster of very talented players with a lot of different experiences, ranging from Argentina, you know, U17 World Cup members, to Germany, to American players, all with different backgrounds, all with different stories, all with the desire now to represent FC Tucson. I think we're a very talented group. Unfortunately, we didn't have a performance that we wanted last Saturday, but I'm absolutely delighted with this group as people, first and foremost. And the one thing, the common thread in soccer, which is amazing, is that it's the game. You can roll a ball out with a German, an Argentine, an American, a Spaniard, and they can speak the same language, you know, and that's the beauty of this game. And that's what we've created here through the club And in this community, we want to make sure that we not only represent Tucson really well in our style of play, you know, that fits an attractive model of play and style to entertain our fans. But it's a real joy to play that way as well. And I think we've built a really talented group. You know, with the support of my technical staff and Amanda and John Perlman, we've laid out a vision, you know, both short-term and long-term that we believe in and that we are in the process of executing.
Coach John Gallus here. Before we talk about how our listeners can be a part of developing even greater support for FC Tucson, guys who have worn the FC Tucson logo have actually gone far in their soccer careers, right? Coach Gallus, the FC Tucson has a legacy in Tucson that not enough people know about, and it's a successful one. Hey, can you share some of those highlights?
Well, I can. I can speak from looking at it, you know, from afar. But I was part of the coaching staff very early, you know, about 10, 11 years ago when John Perlman, Rick Schatz, and Greg Foster and some others put this vision in play with hosting the first, you know, sort of MLS event here, the Desert Diamond Cup. And through that launching of that program, you know, through the 9 years of being an amateur team, they've certainly attracted some of the best talent that the U.S. has had to offer, from the Aaron Longs, who plays with New York Red Bull and full national team, to Herrera, who was with the full Olympic qualifying team, is a MLS player with Real Salt Lake, to Tucson's very own Danny Toya, who's played in the MLS for several years. Tucson has a legacy of producing some very talented players, and FC Tucson has certainly played its part in nurturing that talent, fostering that talent, and then launching them on to bigger and brighter things. And that's certainly something that we're proud of now at the professional level, where we can look for those young stars, as Amanda alluded to, with our Pro Academy starting shortly, our affiliation with FC Tucson Youth. And that's exactly what we want to do, is provide an opportunity for these young men and other pros around the country and internationally to, you know, sort of ply their trade in Tucson. And if it springboards them to MLS careers or international careers, then we'll certainly take great pride in that.
Very cool. Coach John Gallus, FC Tucson. Amanda Powers, the present CEO of FC Tucson, you know, we kicked off the show by talking about what's going to be a busy week for both the city council and the board of supervisors at the county level. Some big items on both agendas. One of those is a presentation from you guys and Visit Tucson regarding the economic, social, and community impacts of FC Tucson on our community. Cast some vision, and how can we help? How many home games does FC Tucson play, and what do you need from this community to be successful?
Yeah, well, so we have a 28-game season. We've got 14 home games. It's a long season. Usually it's March through October, but we are going to have pretty much at least one home game a month, and then some months we're going to have four. And when it's hot and it's mid-season, that's where we need to dig in and continue to kind of make a call to action to the community to say, hey, buy a ticket. They're very reasonably priced. Your dollars are going to completely cover the expenses of this club. And just give us a try. We are doing so much in uniting the community together in terms of what we want to present with our pregame activities. So, for example, you know, we've got tribal nation leaders who are going to do a blessing on the land and the game on Saturday before we kick off. And we also have some fantastic national anthem renditions there, sort of honoring the original frontline workers, mothers, in anticipation for Mother's Day. And then we've got live music. You know, as the community starts to open up and we begin to kind of reconstruct and put our communities back together after a crazy year, we feel like we would really like to be that unifying force. So what I just say is follow us on social, download our app, come to the website, give us a try, and just come to the game. We'd love to have you. Also, if you have a business or an NGO or any sort of organization that has to do with kids and creating positive outcomes for kids, please don't hesitate to submit an online form, and let's come up with a really unique way to work together. We do have some really interesting initiatives that we're doing with Sunnyside Foundation and Sunnyside Unified School District this year. along with some other organizations. So, you know, at the end of the day, I have to remind myself what we are doing is about the kids. But we've got to, you know, inspire these kids, this next generation of leaders, of workers. So we're just looking, this club is only going to be successful if it's sort of representative of the various nonprofits and corporate and civically engaged aspects of this community.
FCTucson.com is the website. You can go on there and buy individual game tickets. You can buy season tickets. May 8th is the opportunity for our listeners to join y'all, 7 o'clock p.m. So even if it's a little bit warm, 7 o'clock is a good time to be outdoors. Keno North Stadium versus Ford Madison Football Club at May 8th this Saturday at 7 o'clock. Any final words, Amanda? We've got about a minute or so here, but love to support what you're doing. I think the impact could be huge, and I want to see Tucson and our listeners supporting you this year.
I appreciate that. You know, last year we did play our season, and you know, while we weren't allowed to have fans, we innovated, and that's so much of what I love about what we get to do here is, you know, we released a digital app, we did sort of drive-in watch parties, and we kept people employed, and we kept spending locally. About 80% of our spending goes to local vendors. So, you know, we had a tough year financially, but we still maintained our position, and we just asked for the community to kind of give back. And we do say one thing, and that's Fuerza Tucson. We've been saying that since before the pandemic broke out, and
yes,
we still stand by that. So, Fuerza Tucson.
I love it. Coach John Gallus, CEO of FC Tucson, Amanda Powers, thank you both for your time on a busy day, and we'll see you this weekend.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda and John. That does it for our show today. When we return, we'll talk to a city council candidate in Ward 6. We'll also hear some live music of Southern Arizona and the Borderlands tomorrow. It'll be a fun show. Tucson, Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster after that, as always. We'll see you. Take care. Stay healthy, Tucson. On Tipping Point, we'll see you tomorrow at 9. Take care.